Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the word that you placed on my heart to share this morning. Lord, I pray that as we listen, that Lord, you would speak to us clearly. And Lord, we would be able to grasp that more closeness to you that we desire. And that Lord, you would indeed give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. As we consider this season of Advent, we're looking at hope, love, joy, and peace. The symbols that our candles represent. And as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And today I want to focus our thoughts on peace. You know, if I had to pick a favourite carol, for me, it would have to be Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I love Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. I love that line, peace on earth. But as I think on this, I wonder, where do we find this peace? I mean, true peace seems elusive. It seems elusive. Even to those who fight hardest and cry loudest for it. But at this first Christmas, angels appear to some shepherds and declare that peace is available. And just in one single verse from the Bible, we find out where to find peace at last. So let's take a look. The verse I'm talking about is verse 14 of our passage, which says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on which his favour rests." So we're thinking about peace. And I want us to think firstly about the source of peace. The source of peace. Just over a century ago, archaeologists discovered two magnificent silver cups, both with Irish Celtic origins. The first is known as the Gundestrup Cauldron. Sounds a good name. And comes from a century or two before Christ. This was a time when the Irish worshipped violent pagan gods. The cup is adorned with pictures of gods and warriors, and one panel, which I've actually highlighted on the screen there, one panel shows a gigantic cook god holding squirming humans and dropping them into a vat of oil. These gods demand human sacrifice to appease their appetite. The second cup is called the Ardar Chalice. The Ardar Chalice. And comes from around the 7th or 8th century after Christ. And by this time in history, the Irish had turned to Christianity, thanks to the missionary efforts of St. Patrick. Like the first cup, it's a work of magnificent craftsmanship. You can see, even on the bottom of it, as I've highlighted there, there's so much intricate detail. But the god depicted in this second cup is radically different. It has a simple but intricate patterning, and the names of the 12 apostles are engraved around the rim. It's different from the first because this cup is a cup of peace, and it is designed to be used in communion. In the first cup, we see depicted a civilization of disorder, where violence and fear reign supreme. It's a society that knows nothing of Jesus Christ. On the second cup, we see a civilization that's at peace with God, a people who celebrate life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the point is this: the source of peace in any civilization is God. That first Christmas, peace came from God and dwelt in our world. I love those verses from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We read them quite a lot around this time of year. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Peace comes from God. And we know this because he has told us that when he comes into a person's life, one of the many gifts that he brings is the gift of peace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, are love, joy, peace, etc. And the Lord has also promised to send his peace when we ask for it. "Do not be anxious," says Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So peace is from God. And it comes to us through Christ. God's peace is not something we can conjure up within ourselves. It's not something we can earn or attain through self-exertion. No, real peace is from God and comes to us through Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 17 and 18 tells us that Christ, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. You know, people search for peace in all kinds of places. Even Christians do this. But it's plain that true peace comes only from God, and it comes through knowing and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want us to think after the source of peace, the sanctuary of peace. The sanctuary of peace. I love the story of a father sitting watching television when his son came running over and said, "Dad, can you play with me?" Dad enjoys playing with his son and plans to give him plenty of time, but not just yet. "Soon, son, soon," says Dad, "when this program's finished." 5 minutes later, the little boy returns. "Dad, can you play with me now?" "Soon, son, when this program finishes." 2 minutes later, the little boy returns again. "Dad, is it time to play yet?" Dad realizes that he's not going to get any peace. So he decides to set his son a task that will take some time. He notices a picture of the world on the front page of a newspaper lying on the table in front of him. And he tears the picture out and he rips it into small pieces. "Now, son, I've got a game for you," Take the pieces of this picture of the world and put them back together again, and then we'll play together. Then the boy eagerly takes the pieces away with him and sets to work. Dad relieved, he'll get to see the last half hour of his program. But to his amazement, the little boy comes back in less than 5 minutes. "I've finished, Daddy. Can we play now?" The father's stunned when he turns around to see his son holding the picture of the world, each piece sticky taped in the right position. Dad begins to wonder whether his child is a child prodigy. "Son, how did you get it done so quickly?" he asks. "That would have taken me a good 20 minutes, and I'm an adult." "Oh, it was easy, Dad. On the back of the world was a picture of a person. So I put the person back together, and that's when the world came together." Friends, God's world is all messed up, but he's putting it back together one person at a time. And as his peace comes into our lives, into the lives of people, God's world is being renewed. God wants to make people the sanctuary of his peace, the special place of his peace. You see, God is the source of peace, but God's people are the sanctuary of his peace. In verse 10, we read of this reading, the angel explained to the shepherds that good news of great joy is for all people. Good news of great joy is for all people. But notice that it doesn't say that peace on earth is for all people. In fact, it says the exact opposite. Peace on earth is reserved for God's people alone. God's peace is reserved for those on whom his favour rests, says verse 14. This means that not everyone gets to have God's peace. Only people who are pleasing to God can receive his peace. So peace is from God and is for God's people. This may sound exclusive and narrow, and that's because it is. The fact is, some people are excluded from God's peace, and they are those people with whom he is not pleased. But before you start jeering and shouting, "Hey, this just isn't fair," you should notice who the angel is speaking to in this Christmas story. In this Luke 2 passage, the angels have appeared to the shepherds. Now, shepherds at this point in history were the outcasts of society. In Jewish society especially, they were looked down on because they had to be out in the fields with the sheep. And so they couldn't get to the temple to worship. And so they were considered the spiritually unclean. But God chose to reveal his plan to these simple, unclean shepherds that the world had rejected. So, is God's peace selective? Yes. It only comes to those with whom God is pleased, his children, Christians. But God is not selective. His peace is selective, but God is not selective, because anyone can receive his peace. Anyone can become a sanctuary of God's peace if they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And lastly, I want to think about the scope of peace. You too, the Irish rock band in Dublin, released in 2000 a song called Peace on Earth. Its lyrics were inspired by the Omagh bombing in Northern Ireland on the 15th of August 1998. And it goes like this: "Heaven on earth, we need it now. I'm sick of all this hanging around, sick of sorrow, sick of pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth." Basically, the gist of the song is, get over it. We're never going to see peace on earth. And if we watched the news on any night of the week, we might agree. But how does this line up with what the angels sang that first Christmas? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Luke 2, verse 14. I believe it lines up perfectly. You see, the peace the angels sing about is on earth, but it is with God. In other words, it is peace with God while on earth. That is now. This is the scope of peace. Peace is with God, not with the world. Jesus taught us this when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is John 14, verse 27. Peace is not with the world. True peace exists within the soul that is right with God despite what's happening in the world. True peace exists within a soul that is right with God despite what is happening in the world. In fact, when we make our peace with God, we invite conflict with the world into our lives. That's because peace with God involves opposition to Satan and his work in the world. You can't have it both ways. If you want true peace, we must make peace with God and not with the world. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God, says James chapter 4, verse 4? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. As believers, we can sometimes seek our peace with the world. When we get stressed or restless, we need to check our relationship with God first before we go out for retail therapy or we fly off the handle. We need to check that our source, the source of our peace, is God, and that the scope of our peace is with God and not with the world. Let me finish with some words from Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India, and she wrote this: "Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall enjoy much peace. If you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. In that stillness, you know what his will is." I encourage us all to focus on God and his peace this Advent, this Christmas, and beyond, as we seek to serve him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you and praise you that your peace, Lord, is all-encompassing. It's wonderful. But Lord, it's exclusive to those who follow you. We cannot have peace if we are not close to you, if we don't accept the one who gives the peace. Father, I thank you that your peace is available to every single person, if only we ask. If only we turn and say, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Savior." Lord, then we become that real sanctuary of peace. For you are the source of peace, and our scope of peace is that, Lord, we focus on you. Only on you. Lord, we thank you and praise you for peace. We thank you for the peace that we see through this Nativity story, that you came to bring peace. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to remain seated as we sing "A Way Out."